Join us. I'm looking forward to our program discussion today. But first off, Anna Marshall, if you're on here, if you could give us just a quick roll call, state by state, please.
Absolutely. Alabama.
I guess I'll take credit for them.
Okay. Charlotte.
Here, this is Kirsten Kure.
Georgia. Lookout. Memphis. Nashville.
Here, this
Hi, you've got Mary Ruth Raphael.
And Meredith Libby.
North Carolina, if I can take credit for them. South Carolina.
Hi, this is Ashley Dusenberry.
South Georgia. Tar Heel. Tri-Cities. And Volunteer.
Those last two let me know they had stuff come up at the last minute. And I see Chelsea on email. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I sent Chelsea the new login, so hopefully she'll pop on here in a second. And while we wait for her to click on, I think we'll go ahead and toss it over to Mindy Hughes, who is our PRSA Regional Representative Manager. Mindy, take it away.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks so much. Hey, everybody. Just make this quick. First of all, it is National Volunteer Month, and I just want to extend my personal thanks to all of you and to your boards and to your committee volunteers for all the work that you guys do for PRSA. You're providing great service for all of our colleagues, and we just appreciate you so much, and I just appreciate you guys so much and all the opportunities I have to work with you and support you throughout the year. One other announcement, this is an important one. Some of you may be working on your personal taxes in advance of April 15th, tax day for all of us individuals. As PRSA chapters, we also have to file taxes, and those taxes are due May 15th. So that's the date you want to make sure you have on your calendar. We want to make sure that all of our chapters file their taxes correctly using your correct EIN number. And after you have filed, then upload your tax return or your receipt from the IRS for filing to DocShare so that the folks at National know that you have filed. It really is so important to do this. We have had a few chapters who either filed incorrectly or failed to file for 3 years in a row and lost their IRS tax exempt status. And trust me, you do not want to go through the process to get that back. It is arduous, it is time consuming, it could be expensive. So just avoid that at all costs, file by May 15th. The regional reps will be sending out some more detailed information early next week, just to be sure everyone has the link to the IRS for the 990 postcard filing, which is what many of our chapters use. I think our larger chapters that have larger budgets and more revenue file a long form 990, and most of those folks are getting some professional help to do that. So, Kevin, that's all I have, unless anyone has a question.
Sorry, could you repeat that deadline?
Yes, the deadline for filing taxes is May 15th.
Thank you, Mindy. And would you like to go ahead and introduce Jane at this time?
I would love to introduce Jane. Jane, are you on the call? Hello?
We can always come back to her.
Yeah, I didn't see her on. She's traveling. I think she's at the Western District Conference, but I know she was planning to be on the call, so she may have gotten held up a little bit.
All right, I see another one hung up with the change in call numbers. Here we go. And what we can do is we can always send out that information on Jane's behalf if she's unable to make it with all her travels and all that, as we send out reports back to everybody for that. Unless there's anything you want to add at this point, or we can come back to you at the end, Mindy, if she's not here, and touch on that.
Yeah, that would be fine. I certainly don't have all the details that Jane can provide, but I can give you some basics, and then we can be sure that all the details get out to everyone afterward.
Super, super. And district-wise, I want to just make a couple of quick points. We are being much more active on Facebook and Twitter these days than we have been in recent history, and I want to thank Heather Beck and Chelsea Riemann for that. I put in the agenda that you saw in the email the links directly there. We hope that you follow us if you aren't already, and if you are, that you become a little more active, because we would like to get get out there a lot more in what we're doing. You'll also see a YouTube link on there. That YouTube link is to our best practice calls. So what we're doing is each year from here on out, we want to put these best practice calls on their own video playlist. That way you can go back if you miss it, or in future, you know, editions of the boards and chapter boards, you can go back and look at what was said before. And that way you've got archives to see what we've been doing over the past few years. So you'll find that YouTube link also on the agenda that was sent out the other day. And speaking of best practice calls, without further ado, I'd like to go ahead and jump into this one, because I'm really excited. Our chair-elect, Brad Belote, found this one. We were looking around to see what good chapters across the nation have been doing good things in programs, and he found PRSA Cleveland. And so today we are joined by their president-elect, Chris Lynch, APR, fellow PRSA. In 2018, the year he was in charge of their programs, they offered a variety of times, like networking mornings, post-work mentorings. They also brought you a variety of information, from psychology of fake news to women who rock PR. Of course, Cleveland with the Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame there. And a variety of events. They had awards programs. They also had a Leaders and Legends series that sounded really good. So he is here, along with Cleveland's current programming VP, Rachel Kerstetter. And my apologies, Rachel, if I misspoke on your name there. They're going to tell us about what's worked, what hasn't worked, and everything in between there. Take it away, guys.
You are right on with my name, by the way.
Thank you and welcome.
Thanks.
Not much else to say right now. You sort of spilled the beans on everything. Hi, everybody. Welcome from cloudy Cleveland. Probably not as warm as it is down where y'all are right now. I've got this on a PowerPoint. I don't know if people can see it or not yet. We're trying to work on share. But while our folks are here working on that, I'm going to walk through just a couple of things first, called programming ABC, or programming 101, if you will. And I don't know how many people on the call are in charge of programming. They can certainly pass this on to their chapters. Personnel who are in charge of programming. Is that working now?
Yep.
You guys can see the very first slide here?
We do see it. And
okay,
there's
I know.
A mix of people on the call, Chris. There's going to be some chat.
There's a lot of people that are calling and can't see this. So I'm going to kind of verbatim read the bullets we have on here. We'll make this available. So let's talk about programming in general. In most cases, chapter members feel that this is the most visible and, frankly, the most of value activity PRSA has. And they see their chapters 80-20 is their real role in PRSA and what PRSA means to them in value. So they use these to learn, to network, and to give back to others in the community, in the PR community. So your programming is terribly key in on here. Slowly getting there. Okay, so let's talk about programming. Rachel and I joked about this morning. Rule number one, you're never going to please everyone when it comes to programming. That can mean people want different topics, different venues, different locations, different times of day. So you can't worry about that. You've got to worry about providing your members with the most value of a program or program that offers a variety of topics, a variety of content, remembering the variety of members you have. Pretty obvious. We have senior members, we have accredited members, we have corporate, we have nonprofit, we have different association people, you have agency people, you have young pros, you have intern students. So the content you're going to be providing all of them that relates to our field of study, and that can be all over the board too, it's going to try and be different. So that was one of the things that we tried here in Cleveland again. Rule number two, when it comes to programming, you're not going to make money, but you don't want to lose it either. So that's a tightrope to walk. But as long as you think of programming as the key in making member value, then I don't want to say the price doesn't matter, but it's serving its purpose. So in other terms, if you can be healthy and not wealthy, that's good too. So what kind of programming should you have? Each chapters are different. You have metro chapters, say like Atlanta or Birmingham, others that are all state run. So your programs are not typically monthly because people aren't going to drive 2 hours for lunch and drive back unless you really got a BAFO topic or something. So those that you can do teleconferencing or Zoom now and things like that obviously are to be taken with very keen importance. But the first thing is survey your membership. What do they want out of programming? Obviously, you can do Survey Monkeys and things like that. One thing we did in Cleveland a year or so ago, Rachel put together a really good survey, but in retrospect, I think we would have just done one specific to programming. What are they looking for? Is it hot topics, topics that you can localize, things that are in the news, things that are local? And there's different ways to do that. For example, at the assembly last year, we were told as delegates that the PRSA monthly luncheon is dead. Instead, you've got to look at things like breakfast sessions, round bag lunches, after hours, other networking. Those are all key, and you can try them once or twice to do something different. Ironically, the typical monthly luncheon, if it's in a downtown area, still draws the most people. And you can do it on different times. You can do it the second Tuesday every month. People are creatures of habit. They like the latter. However, it is hard when it comes to the world of speakers because you're herding cats, especially if you want to get a panel. And people that really are worth listening to are people that are busy. So it's a bit difficult to do that, needless to say. That said, you don't always have to go to a third party. You can do sessions at local agencies or suppliers. One of the things that we just started doing, a big member value with zero cost, are brown bag luncheons at different suppliers or agencies or corporate entities where all you need is a conference room and video capability. We have upwards of four different provided PRSA programs at webinars every month. People forget they're there. Remember, we used to have to pay $200 to get them. That's what we started doing in Cleveland. And maybe once a quarter, if we have time, we'll expand on that. Members only, good value, will host one of those here. Last week, we hosted at our agency the top 10 tech tools webinar. And I asked Rachel, because it was about like 50 when it turned out as it is. We had about 20 people here, but it didn't cost anything. We just showed it. And for those people who couldn't see it with us, it's there to be downloaded. We just send them the link. The neat thing was when we were done, we had a chance to discuss and talk about that. So those are free. You can do them whenever you want to. You can probably coordinate it with Zoom and do it district-wise if you wanted to. So think about that as an option. Again, too, for after hours, you can do a typical happy hour or something, but it's nice to have a topic. So maybe someone comes out and talks about a case study, or almost everybody has a awards program. Have some of your goal winners walk and talk their way through. We just judged all of Mississippi's PRISM Awards, and trust me, there were half a dozen. It would have been very easy to set up, have discussions, 15, 20 minutes Q&A. Yet people still have time to network and talk about things. Again, here's a real quickie, PRSA Programming 101, beware of costs. We have back and forth that people think it's not worth the cost, when realistically, if you're going to a luncheon event or something like that, we make maybe $2 on a luncheon, because, you know, you find some place for $25 or less, it's almost impossible for a decent lunch. Not to mention, do you have a room charge? If you're going to have AV on top of that, is it there? Do you need to bring it in? If you're bringing it in, that's $500 or $600 by the time you get a screen kit, you get a voice box, you get a technician, et cetera. Oftentimes you've got service charges and tax. That's 28% plus. Parking, valet. If you're bringing in a speaker, even if it's just for a night, is there out of pocket with that? Your admin has time to have to coordinate this. There's invitations. If you're using something like Constant Contact or Evite, there's registration fees. And if it's old school, you're printing, postage, sign it. So all that goes into costs when you're doing programming. You need to figure it out ahead of time as you do budgets. But again, members don't see that. They just see, wow, we're paying $35. Oh, and you've got a ceiling, because people aren't going to really pay more than $30, $35 for lunch. And we try and stagger our costs. So the students and members will pay $30 or $35, non-members $40 or $45. Once you get past $45, a lunch, well, unless Bob Woodward is speaking, I'm not going to pony that out of my pocket. Also, real fast, obviously you can look at sponsorships to defray these costs. Sponsors can obviously host certain events. We had another program in January of last year about the influx of video in public relations. Dug up some really good information. And one of our Cinecraft video houses actually sponsored and picked up lunch for everyone. We still charged $25, but we cleared all of that because there was really no overhead on our part. So look for sponsors to host events. They can look at gold, silver levels. You can have them, if you're forward and you're thinking, look ahead of time and sponsor February or March or April down the road. They could directly pick up the cost of catering if they're going to have it within their own confines, and maybe you provide exclusives if they want to sponsor certain events throughout the year. All chapters seem to have their traditional events, your annual awards program, maybe your student day, maybe it's a business in the media or media relations panel. Up here in Cleveland, we've been doing annual legacy or senior panel events. Those are your keystone areas people sort of look ahead. It's really important to get those events and their dates and details locked down early so people can get save the events, maybe send them a postcard, something to cut through the clutter, because our members typically are getting 3, 4, 5 things a day from the society, the district, local, national, reminders, and a lot of stuff just gets overlooked. Try something new. Last year, and we'll look at it in a bit, we did our first ever PR field trip. Not far from Cleveland is Akron. We did this in conjunction with the Akron chapter. And the Goodyear blimp is housed here. Actually, all four of the blimps are housed here. But now one's in California, one's in Florida. Ironic that you see it in the air and you go, oh, yeah. Well, remember, Goodyear's been doing this for 50, 60 years. Can you imagine what kind of metrics they get? How they even judge that per square feet when the blimp is overhead and people point up and people see that? So we made a phone call down there. Turns out one of the Goodyear folks are on both Cleveland and Akron chapters and arranged to have our field trip down there, and had 100 plus people. And it was amazing as they were sort of pre-launching their latest airship. A little bit more about that to come. But in everyone's chapter, you have similar types of larger venues, sporting area, baseball, football, you know, visit the press box to have the Falcons or the Dolphins or whomever it might be from a football, baseball, or university level team talk about how they handle their media relations, their pros, cons, some of the stories that they go through. You can do that with local museums, entertainments, casinos, and it gets people out of just the standard lunch and learn, if you will. You can go to TV stations, radio stations. Look at your area metro newspapers. I'm sure they have a lot of space now for people to come in. That's an interesting conversation to hear the publisher, the editor, not just talk about PR media relations, but talk about their business. Goodness knows, we owe them a lot for getting coverage for our clients? Well, let's hear where they're coming from too. I can guarantee you they're not going to say no to an opportunity to talk to all of us and, in essence, pitch their stories to us. Again, same with hospitals, airports, universities. They all have pretty significant stories to tell, and it makes for a nice trip and learning experience. Finally, if you're looking at other programming, think about case studies from your chapter awards. You've got tremendous programs that are all done right, and it's all out in front of you. And trust me, if someone took the time and energy to put this all together in an award, I'm sure they want to wave the flag and show that off. Or you can put two or three of them together and just do it as a panel. Working within your district. Well, you can, if you have district awards, the same kind of thing. You can bring those regional people into your chapter. If it's just a day's drive, well, you cover them $50 for gas, or maybe you bring them in the night before and you put them at the Holiday Inn or something like that. But suddenly, because you're bringing in an out-of-town expert, your folks feel that this is really of value. A couple of years ago, when the Wendy's case came about with the person who alleged there was a finger in their chili, and it turned out to be something they'd set up themselves. John Lynch, no relation, PR director at Wendy's, I called him up and I said, would you share that story? Because Wendy's, much like Tylenol years earlier, handled that about as well as any brand could. So he had a chance to drive up here, present that. Here in Cleveland, we were the first ones to get that story. And he ended up making that same presentation 9 months later at the ICON National Conference. But again, we brought someone in from out of town, and Columbus is a two-hour drive. It honestly didn't cost us anything to bring in an expert like that. You can also use national stories with your local experts, with someone from your local broadcast or print expertise. That was sort of the fake news one that we talked about, and we'll go over that in just a minute. And finally, you can combine efforts with Ad Club, IABC, Local Press Club, American Marketing Association, or even NARI. We've had all these people where we co-join with them and just sort of had a chance to pick each other's brains a little bit. I'll be up 5 more minutes tops, please. We talked about a program we did called Fake News, the Psychology of Belief. We brought in the editor of the Plain Dealer, that's Cleveland's largest, actually the state's largest paper, its political columnist, and a professor of psychology from Baldwin, or from John Carroll University, and had the panel talk about the influx of fake news, how that is, from a psychological stamp, believed by many, not believed by others. It tied in with the news of the day, and I don't recall what the president said or tweeted that morning, but needless to say, we had a lot of information to talk about. The other one that we've been working on right after that was on branding, both personal branding and that of large organizations, where we brought in the marketing directors from Vitamix, the blender company, from Moen Faucet Company. Turns out these are clients of ours, but they both had good stories to tell and demonstrate the depth of strategy and research they put in to analyze their audiences, to track their audiences, their social media efforts, and sort of some whipped cream on top of the sundae, we ended up auctioning off a real nice Vitamix blender and a Moen faucet. So that sort of brought some people out too, had some sort of fun takeaways and some fun imagery that we were put on social media to demonstrate those who went to it. We talked about maybe talk to NARI or some of your local IR firms. We had a program called New Dimensions in Investor Relations. Sounds boring, but we also nicknamed it IR for Dummies. And IR is probably one of the areas that, to be honest, our collective membership is pretty lean on. People don't want to admit it. I'll be the first to admit I've written 2 annual reports, and I can barely tell Imitah from Safe Harbor. So we had some folks really go through, explain the ABCs of IR, and it was a well-attended and well-done program that people weren't ashamed to go and actually learn something about it. Another one we had was called Leaders and Legends. This has been an annual, semi-annual program where it gives something for our senior practitioners, something to do. And there's just a wealth of wisdom out there with our senior folks and fellows goodness knows if they're like me, love to chat. So I've had the opportunity and good fortune to moderate both these so far, where we've had some of our poet laureates, if you will, from the PR world speak, well, as well as a couple of very well-known educators and folks from different parts of the corporate world, municipal world, energy, all types of different areas that, again, part of it is storytelling, but we sort of made a joke of it saying it's not geezer PR, it's not get off my lawn PR, and plus we will not take you to 5 o'clock to the early bird special at Denny's PR. So again, we had them talk about issues of the day, how it reflected back. It was also a really good way to talk about ethics. And if you have an ethics luncheon or seminar, good luck getting people to come. But when you can have this said by the folks who are key leaders in your field, in the marketplace, it means a whole new thing. A couple other things that we did here. The Cleveland Clinic is a Cleveland entity, and the clinic, much like the Mayo Clinic or John Hopkins, one of the most respected healthcare organizations in the world. They have a PR staff of 50 people. You can imagine the programs and stories they have to tell. And we offer them their own forum to talk about healthcare at the highest level. And this actually came from a webinar one of their people did that I happened to see. And we said, wow, look at how they're at the 30,000 foot level where we would all like to ascend, everything from how they track their metrics to patient to national surveys. And they had a chance to talk about the PR involved in the poor woman who had the very first face transplant, and all the different components that were in that included partnering with National Geographic and ended up producing, obviously, award-winning programming. Another one that we did, we saw where Adam Miller, longtime producer with the Today Show, was coming into Channel 3, WKYC, here in Cleveland, the NBC affiliate. And I went like, well, let's tap his brain, because we all have a lot of consumer clients or work for consumer brands, and that's what every VP marketing says, I want to be on the Today Show. So we had a chance to have him talk about his pros and cons, pitches that worked from PR practitioners, pitches that didn't work from PR folks, as well as what to do if you get to be on the show, ways to be prepared. And then we had a couple folks in the audience who had clients there. We were able to sort of tap into their stories, but it was a really, really strong and well-attended event. We talked before about the Goodyear field trip. Again, this is something that Goodyear does on a regular basis. You know, they have schools and kids pop by, so they already have a conference room. They already had their PowerPoint prepared, so it wasn't a case where we were putting them out, but it's a chance to bring your people in, as well as, let's be honest, we got a lot of cool selfies, and Rachel was there with myself, and not only did we see the new blimp just about to be launched, but the old blimp was taking off. So we got to see it launch, and it beat us back to Cleveland because it was covering the Cavs' last playoff game before we lost LeBron. But that's a whole other story. Finally, one of the last two I'll just briefly talk about. Again, we talked about this is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here in Cleveland, and it turns out that the Broadcast Club of Cleveland had presented Women Who Rock PR. Turns out, between the Rock Hall, between the venue Fieldhouse over here, Destination Cleveland, who all put this presentation together, all happen to be women. Nothing of a big surprise. They're women make up the majority of our profession. But we tied this in with our student day presentation. So we already had 50, 60 students here from Northeast Ohio, and we brought them in with our monthly luncheon. Because we thought the students would like this. It's a big event, needless to say, because this was the inauguration of the new Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2018. And it was just a nice program that talked about everything from managing celebrities to dealing with international press, the music press entertainment business. You know, something that we like to see that when we look at Entertainment Weekly, but we don't deal with on a regular basis. So again, a different kind of program from an event that was already being held here in town. And finally, when you have your awards ceremony, our awards are called the Cleveland Rocks Awards. So the last couple of years, we've gone to different venues where we've had a member who was in charge of their PR. And typically, in case it was at the Hard Rock, which is also a casino, we had it in their Club Velvet Room, which is the room they do like the improv, if you will. Seats about 200, 250, perfect size for the room. We got a local media celebrity to sort of read through our awards script and had a chance to sort of tie this all in with some of the Hard Rock imagery that you see there. And sort of rather than a lunch in this case, we stepped it back up to a cocktail evening event. And I think PR people like getting out. They like going to events that they don't have to worry about all the details. So the last couple of years, we sort of followed up on this and it's been really, really successful. Rachel, anything that you'd like to add on just our overall programming and other notes and thoughts that you have on this?
No, I think you covered last year pretty well in the programming, but
probably too well.
I'm obviously happy to answer questions if they come up.
Great. Any questions for folks out there?
Yeah, I think this is Kevin again. One question I have would be for Rachel. You know, how do you follow up a 2018? When do you start that planning? How much do you work with Chris? What is it like for you transitioning into the next year?
Yeah, that was actually a little bit of a daunting task. From my side personally, in 2018, I was our communications chair for the chapter. So I was working with Chris pretty closely on the promotions and getting the, you know, those nice little graphics that he showed for most of them, not the one on the screen right now. But for most of them was getting some social media graphics together, making sure that they were promoted via email, social, website, when applicable, press releases and postcards. So I was already reasonably involved in the programming, and I think that's a pretty good chair-to-chair transition. But I had a minor handicap last year in that I wasn't able to attend most of the events that we were hosting simply because of job restrictions. And so stepping into programming this year, we start determining our next board September, October time, trying to fit people into the right place before we send it out to our membership. So I started talking to Chris pretty early on about what worked, what didn't work, and shared in brainstorming with him for our programming and then just taking the feedback from our members. So one of the things that he didn't mention for our first program of the year, where it was hosted by Cinecraft, it was a January program that sold out, and we've typically had trouble getting people to come to programs in January. And so looking at the topics that had the most success, specifically when it came to selling all the tickets or people literally not being able to come because we didn't have chairs for them, making sure that we were looking at what the common themes were when we started putting together next year. So between my own ideas, ideas from Chris, and ideas submitted from the rest of our board and those who attended the events, we were able to rough out a little bit of a schedule of the things that we wanted to talk about. And one of the things that we got some feedback on was that our members were looking for more networking events and that we, you know, had one or two kind of networking type events, but we always left room for networking at the events, but people didn't take advantage of it. So we started January with a New Year, New Headshot networking event at a brewery and then kind of moving on through and taking through those themes and considering to bringing back the field trips and continuing the Leaders and Legends series by, you know, leveraging our APRs and fellows in the chapter. So it was kind of daunting to start putting that together. But I think between Chris and myself, we planned out more programs than we could host in about 5 years. So that pool of topics and ideas will be continuously passed on as the programming chair position moves around the folks that are involved in the chapter.
Awesome. Thank you, Rachel.
This is Meredith from Nashville, and I wondered if you have done anything that specifically targets professionals with 8 or 10 years or more, which is a time when we find participation and even membership tends to decline.
That's a really good question. For example, we are now working on, knock on wood, hosting an APR boot camp here in Cleveland. A lot of effort to do this, trust me. That said, between, I'm guessing, 10 to 14 Northeast Ohio professionals, and then maybe another half dozen to a dozen from our district will be at that event. So we're planning to, hoping to do a luncheon in combination with that. I also have to scurry together 20 APRs to judge portfolios. So right now you are looking at the core of the people you're talking with. So that's 30, 40 plus 8 to 10 to 20 year PR veterans. So what is the topic? That's a really good question. So we're still kind of kicking the can a little bit on that one. But since that sort of carries into what we've talked about, I would bring in someone from one of the larger organizations. For example, this is the 10-year anniversary of Flo, the character representing Progressive. And we were going to do this with Brian Grace, who is their director of communications. But Brian just left the company last week. But say that's a topic he could have talked about and sort of expanded that on the pros and cons of using celebrities or making up your own celebrity to represent a brand. I think that kind of is a high-level amount of thinking. Oftentimes comes with a significant budget, so you don't have all your players experienced or not having that opportunity. Not just talk about Flo as a commercial, because you see her everywhere. I mean, she's on screens on the Ohio Turnpike. So as you pull in, you think you're giving her your money. Like, what's she standing there for? Let alone all the different digital and integrated ways that she's there. So the program would be interesting, but I also want to talk about the celebrity focus of that. You know, no one looks further than Jared of Subway, who is now incarcerated for child pornography, or other, you know, celebrities who, you know, because of other issues, can taint a brand. So a topic like that might be of interest to the senior group, the same as any of your other or larger organizations that have all kinds of safety concerns. But Red Cross, for example, Marianne Frank, who is the president of the Northern Ohio chapter, was able to come in and talk about how they got pulled into it and involved with everything from Hurricane Katrina and sent people and blood products down there to contaminated blood to all kinds of things. All your chapters for national issues are well briefed in issues that could hurt them or help them back home. So any kind of a higher level, or again, a CEO roundtable that is carefully fed by their PR folks who are, you know, lucky enough to be at the C-suite or something like that, you know, have them talk about PR. It may or may not be what we all would like to hear. Some may not think much of it. Others who are well-versed, for example, we have the Hill Lighthouse Awards here in Cleveland. Lighthouse is sort of as for our practitioner out of the year, but Lifetime Achievement Award. The Hill, on the other hand, is awarded every year to the CEO of any organization who best quantifies and understands the meaning of public relations. So we have a pool of 20 CEOs over the last dozen and a half years that at some point in time did understand PR, and they'd be wonderful to get together to talk about that. Great time for you to bring your boss or your boss's boss to a program on that. So there's a couple of examples.
Can I build on what Chris was talking about with program topics just for a second? Because that, you know, that getting them more starting into the mid-career type professionals where the membership does drop off, that hits me hard because that's where I am right now. And many of the people that I started in PRSA with are beginning to maybe fall off or experience some volatility in their own lives and their careers. So in addition to topics, one of the things that we are making sure that we're paying attention to, as Chris mentioned earlier in the presentation, is timing. because for, you know, many that are in this level, there is still difficulty with being out of the office for the amount of time that maybe a luncheon takes, but we can cut out a little bit early to make it to a happy hour. We can come in a little bit late to go to a breakfast, because many of us are, you know, on the agency side, we're account managers and we're client contacts and we're, you know, our phones are ringing a lot because we're kind of managing the things, the moving parts, as opposed to maybe directing a team below us. And we're trying to work our way up. And so putting in the hours in the office, being visible and being responsive is sometimes difficult to make a traditional program work. But we are trying to engage those professionals in different ways as well, specifically with like the student day. Outside of that luncheon that Chris talked about with the Women Who Rock PR, we host a full day for area students to learn about different things of what a real world PR communications program is. And we invite those levels of professionals who really remember what it was like getting started, and we're getting started not that long ago, to sit on our panels. The ones that could potentially be hiring these students when they come out of college. But then we also did a program in February that kind of hits the pain point, because most of us don't have public relations in our job titles anymore. They have communications, marketing, marcom, development, or they just have account, et cetera, or something like that. And so often what we hear when people drop their membership is, well, I don't do PR anymore. But really they're doing the communication work that is very closely tied to PR and needs the same skills. So we actually hosted a panel called I Don't Do PR Anymore to talk about the changing landscape of public relations and communications and how integrated communications is growing. And we had, you know, three great speakers from locally here who started in PR and have grown and shifted and changed that would be applicable. And we had a room full of people right in the middle of their careers. And I was really impressed with that turnout. We had a 50-50 member, non-member turnout for that event as well. And I think that's the first time in a long time we've had one of those, was to make sure that we're actually hitting those points. So between topic and timing, it's something that we are trying to make sure. And I think it's gonna be a struggle even moving forward for most chapters to try to engage with people at this level.
And along those lines too, we also do an annual pro bono day, where much like student day, we bring in for very, very little cost, those in charge of public relations for at all the different nonprofit organizations through United Way, et cetera, and meet one-on-one with our 8 to 10 or 12 year veterans, if you will, talk about different ways that they can get coverage or do storytelling or even help get releases and things. And the nice thing is, we're looking now at possibly combining student day and pro bono day, where students can have an opportunity not to intern, but I tell them they interview here and they say, well, I was in a class project and did. Well, I'd like to see something that you've done on your own. Needless to say, we talked to them about volunteering for nonprofit, to go in, help run events, to go in, handle media relations, to go in and do some writing. Well, here's a chance where you have organizations who need people like that, who don't have the budget, and you have people who want to get experience. So it's a nice marriage of Figaro, if you will. So we're looking for ways to make that happen. And again, one last quick 8 to 12 year veteran kind of thing. How about a topic on reverse mentoring? Goodness knows the folks in my agency, I come around all the time because I can't do this. I've got someone sitting on my shoulder right now showing me how to do Zoom. So as we get more experience in the ways in which we handle strategies and programs and meet measurable objectives, we're always looking on the lookout for better ways to do metrics and research and with tools and things like that. You know, we've got to continue to learn in our profession or just pass it by.
Chris, this is Denise in Atlanta, kind of going back one example, something we tried last year that, you know, kind of hits your point about the right time, the right age, and networking and so forth. We, for a summer meeting, we met at the Atlanta Community Food Bank, and they had just had a whole rebranding rollout, you know, whole new identity, logo, and the whole nine yards. So we heard from their CEO, their director of communications, and so forth. And then it was just a box lunch. And then afterward, Coke sponsored, got t-shirts for everybody. We went and worked in their warehouse. We took a shift that afternoon and actually worked, you know, sorting, filling, and a lot of companies around town actually had teams of people. That was kind of their team building day. They, you know, kind of built on, you know, that opportunity was, that was already in place. So, I mean, we had groups from Home Depot and, you know, Coke, of course, and so on and so on. So that checked off several boxes and, you know, was really, really very well received for us.
That's the best practice every chapter should take on.
And I'm sure, you know, every chapter has some kind of an organization. And, you know, to your point, pretty much, you know, most demographics want to do that hands-on, you know, be able to give back in a, you know, short, you know, just a short-term, you know, community activity.
And if you look at the latest numbers, how millennials are so driven by organizations that they work for that give back. I mean, even more so than how much money they make or their job titles.
You know, we read that as well.
CSR is a wonderful program that you can start off with that lead and then look at any organization that you have, whether it be involved with Habitat for Humanity or United Way or Cancer Society or something that with Susan G. Coleman, et cetera. Those are wonderful programs to hold and typically will bring a lot of people out, especially if you hold them during the month or around when the organization is already being highlighted.
And this was especially great because, you know, for, you know, food banks, they have a hard time in the summer. And, you know, whatever quote income, you know, above expenses the chapter made, we gave back to, you know, we wrote a check to the food bank. We did not pocket that, you know, income over expenses for that month. So that was, I mean, feel good all the way around.
Win-win.
Thanks for that, Denise. Any other questions? All right.
Sorry, that's just Meredith again. You've talked a lot about your successes. I wonder if there is a pitfall you can help me avoid.
Well, we talked a bit about costs and things, excuse me, like that. A couple things to
Or, you know, a topic that was an absolute bomb or something you tried that, man, it looks good on paper, but just didn't
work. Yeah, you always have those.
I've got one, Chris, if you want.
Please, go ahead.
We actually, in conjunction with the new professionals, planned a, was it July or August, wine tasting with, actually, so Heinen's grocery store has a beautiful store, but also, you know, in the Rotunda here in Cleveland, it's a beautiful facility, a lot of people go there for events, and we worked with them to set up a wine tasting and networking event hosted by the new professionals of our chapter, and we only had, we had to have a minimum of 15 people, and we only had 8 people register, and we had to cancel it. And it hurts to cancel an event on my side of things, but there are a couple things about that particular situation that we looked at and we're like, okay, now we know better. One of them is summer events are difficult for us. Our people tend to be on a vacation during those times, and we don't host many big events during the month of July. We usually take that month off for our membership, and if we do something, it's usually one of those more like teleconference-y type things that is a low to no cost. And another thing is anymore when our new professionals do something that is hosting everybody, as opposed to being specifically for new professionals in public relations, we take their name off of it now. And instead, we allow them to do the introductions and to plan the events and to get the credit at the event. Because unfortunately, when we say presented by the new professionals, people who are not new professionals go, oh, that's not for me. And then they move along. And then the other issue for that particular event was location. even though the building is great and we thought that the experience would attract people, the parking is a nightmare down there. It's all pay to park, it's parking garages, it's heavy traffic for an evening event. So those were some contributing factors that we didn't necessarily think through as well as we should have, and that we ended up having to cancel an event because of it. So a couple of those things, and then another thing we do every year on more of a networking side is member appreciation. And we used to host member appreciation as a free event at a cool venue, whether it's the Botanical Gardens or a new, you know, brewery that's opened in town. We used to host it for free. And the first one, we only had 50% of the people who registered attend because they didn't have any skin in the game for that one, and it wasn't an official topic. So now our member appreciation is you pay for your first beverage and we provide the appetizers. And then, you know, that way there is that commitment of putting some money behind the event to actually go. And we hate doing that, which is why we're trying to add some more member value with the presentations that Chris mentioned that we hosted like last week, where it was free to members, but there was a specific topic and a very engaging conversation was promised to them other than just, oh, come to a cool location and talk to other PRSA people. So those
are on that too is, so I would check, what's your competition? What else is going on around town or around the area? The one thing with the wine tasting, you know, the young pros hadn't done this before, unlike some of us who have. It's like they didn't get their invites out till just 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, we're all busy. I mean, we've got stuff. Everybody on this call has stuff already in November, December on their calendar. So save the dates. Even if you don't have anything completely locked and loaded or priced down, get those out. It's imperative people can schedule this stuff ahead of time. Rachel's note about $5 or $10 or $0 scan the game is really key. Even if it's $10 or $15, people are going to go like, oh, events that are free and there's a snowflake or a raindrop. Oh, I'm not going over there. You know, I haven't paid for it. So, you know, it's not incorrect to charge them a little bit, even if you're getting most of it for gratis.
All great points. Looks like we have time for one more question. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Kelly in Chattanooga. And we've also, you know, our most popular events are still our luncheons. But we're just, it's getting harder and harder to get people to show up for them. So really, this is a timely topic for us. But, you know, we still have 12 to 13 events a year. And I'm just curious, like, I know that she just said, mentioned that, you know, possibly July, guys take off. We typically have an after hours. We don't do a luncheon in July. But are there other things that conflict with or that you have found, that just skipping that month altogether is a good plan?
Maybe not. I assume you have a minor league baseball team in Chattanooga?
I'm sorry?
I assume you have a minor league baseball team in Chattanooga?
We do, the Lookouts.
Have you done anything with the Lookouts?
We have in the past. We haven't done anything lately. I know that there have been times when they've done like a box and some other things.
Well, as a summer option, PRSA night, the PR director, marketing director for the team can do a presentation because, let's be honest, minor league baseball does a lot of wacky activities, you know, from farm night to whatever. They actually have, through Major League Baseball, video available they can show, and then the Lookouts could possibly comp everybody who comes to the presentation. And you can have your own section and either bring family or just make a whole day or night of it. Something kind of fun that gets people out and is in the summertime anyway.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And actually, our soccer club is the hot topic at the moment. So that could also be a good fit for us.
Great.
Yeah, and great point about bringing the family, because I'm sure like the Barons ballpark here, there's plenty of stuff to distract the family while you're getting a presentation type thing just for a little bit.
Yeah, well, the presentation can be going on and kids could have someone else do a field tour, let her run the bases or something like that.
Yeah, great, call, everyone. I really appreciate your time and your ideas, Chris and Rachel. And I will use this pun, Chris, you rocked the Zoom. Good job with the PowerPoint. I appreciate it.
Together an hour ago.
But you worked the Zoom perfect. Awesome. And I do want to say, speaking of summers off, we are not doing our next call in June as scheduled. It's going to be in August. I will send out an updated version for that with the call-in numbers as well. And that is going to do it for us. Don't forget, even though we're not on the call this summer, we'll still be out there on social. You'll still hear from us on emails. Thank you again, everyone, for the call. Really appreciate it. We'll be sending out the link to this in case you missed it or want to share with your chapters too in the near future. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.